You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 350 of Locked On Raptors for Monday, June 18th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. Of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network. It is a fantastic resource at this time of year because we have the Locked On NBA mock draft going on. I believe Tuesday you will hear the final round, and I should be taking part, even though the Raptors don't have a pick, I should be taking part in a Reddit AMA talking about the Raptors' lack of involvement in the draft, I guess, if you will. So stay tuned for that around 2 o'clock tomorrow, and make sure you listen to the whole mock draft. It's great. A lot of work went into it. Jeremy Wu from SI is there doing prospect breakdowns. It's a good time, so make sure you check it out. And if you find a host that you like in the course of the mock draft, find their separate show on iTunes and leave a rating or a review. And you can do that with us. Locked On Raptors is on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all those places. It takes no time at all. It's very helpful. It moves us up the rankings and all that good stuff. So thank you in advance for taking the time. All right, let's get to today's show. On today's show, look, it's the Raptors this week are not the team that is at most people's forefront. They don't have a pick. It's pretty boring, and it's kind of up in the air. The Raptors don't leak very much, so it's hard to really say what exactly they're going to do. There are some balls in the air, I suppose, and there was a report today from Mark Stein suggesting that the Raptors are trying to trade into the top 10, which surprises me because I don't know really what they would do to get into the top 10, what they're offering, but that's interesting. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the guy from the place that I live right now, Hamilton, Ontario, is apparently the guy who's the target for the Raptors. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with a returning guest on the show. I think you were here last time to help my dumbass help with draft stuff last year. It's from Clips Nation, from Blazers Edge, from all over the place, and a very good draft brain. It's Robert Flom. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's like insanely hot in the Toronto area right now, and it sucks, and I'm miserable and lethargic and sad because hot weather is trash, and the draft stuff, if the Raptors were doing some stuff, it might cover that up, but the Raptors aren't doing anything right now, so I'm kind of just sitting waiting in the winds and sweating my ass off. So we were going to do just a podcast because I wanted someone on who's a smart draft person to talk about guys who the Raptors might be looking at if they buy into the second round or if they end up, you know, getting an undrafted free agent guy like they did with Fred VanVleet. So I wanted someone to talk about that. And then this report came out and I thought, hey, like this could kind of tie in a little bit with the Clippers stuff and your areas of expertise. So glad to have you on to dive into this stuff. Let's start with the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander rumor, I guess. Again, it's so hard to say because this time of year, information's flying around. There's always a reason for why the information is flying around, and it's probably not coming from the Raptors in any of these situations. We know by now the Raptors don't leak anything. They're a very tight-lipped organization. They don't really want their stuff out there, and if you're hearing something, it's probably not coming from the Raptors camp. That doesn't mean it's not legit, and Mark Stein obviously has his sources and knows what he's talking about, but I would take everything that comes out about the Raptors with a bit of a grain of salt, unless it comes from a Michael Grange or a, you know, even like Zach Lowe, someone that we know is plugged in with the team. Woj as well is one of the guys who's more plugged in with the team as well. So I would take all that stuff with a grain of salt. That said, we have to talk about this because it's interesting and because it could potentially change the shape of the lottery if the Raptors do get what they reportedly want to do and trade into the top 10 or thereabouts to draft Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who some people might know. I will reiterate, I'm not a draft person. I don't know shit, so that's why Robert's here. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, though, is a 6'5", 6'6", point guard, played in Kentucky this season. I believe he has a brother as well, Nikhil Alexander, who plays for Virginia Tech, if I'm not mistaken. Robert, I don't know. This is a guy that I'm sure, considering where the Clippers sit with the 12th and 13th picks, this is the guy that you've spent a lot of time sort of looking at and watching film on and sort of breaking down. What should people know about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the event that the Raptors do accomplish what they've set out to do and trade into the top 10 and draft him?
Well, Shai is a really interesting prospect. He's actually been one of the guys who's most frequently mocked to the Clippers, so Clippers fans have seen a lot of him and for the most part would actually be pretty happy with him getting drafted. So take the knowledge level for the Clippers fan base what you will, but he is definitely one of the favorite prospects of, you know, the general like Twitter base and comments and all that kind of stuff. He's a long, you know, wingspan of 7 feet guard. Like you said, he's 6'6". He's really young. He's just turning 20. He's a little old for a freshman, but he's just turning 20 like 2 weeks after the draft. So he's young. And there are some questions about whether he's actually a true point guard or not, mostly due to, like, his not great quickness. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's a good passer. He's not an amazing passer. But the things that stand out to him, about him, I guess I should say, are he's just a really, really smart basketball player. He rarely makes mistakes. He takes care of the ball. He makes pretty good passes. He's not, like, a fantastic passer like Trae Young or Luka Doncic. He's not going to set the world on fire. But he can run a pick and roll very, very well. He's one of the best runners of the pick and roll in college this year, I believe. And he showed that he could shoot mostly wide open off the catch. So not all that helpful in today's NBA, especially if you're a lead guard. But he has a base there, at least, of shooting. He does like taking little dribble pull-in jumpers when he's run off the three-point line, which isn't like the most efficient shot. But again, like, he can shoot. He's not a guy who you're drafting and just you have to assign him a shooting coach and you have to hope he just becomes a shooter. But really, I think the key for him would just be that he's a guy you can comfortably rely on to be a pretty good defensive player at point guard and probably covering shooting guards as well, especially once he bulks up a little. And maybe if he's, right now it says he's like 180-ish pounds, you know, maybe in a few years when he hits like 200-ish, if he bulks up that much, he could even do cover some small forwards with his wingspan and length. So it's really, he's a multi-positional guy on defense. He can play a little bit off ball. He did a little at Kentucky due to the shooting. And yeah, he's not a guy who's considered to have star upside. I don't think most people who I've seen and talked to would think that he's like a high lock to make like an all-star team. But he's a guy with a very high floor just due to his size, his smarts, his just basic skills. He can really finish around the basket. He flashed some like Euro steps and some interesting moves to free himself, and he uses his length really well. So he's an interesting prospect. It's actually a little puzzling the Raptors aren't on a guy like him and not a guy with like somewhat more upside, because mm-hmm. I know I'm not, you know, as plugged into the Raptors as you are, of course, but the main knock has been about like their lack of a superstar or just even a guy who can really continue to get shots in the playoffs against playoff defenses. And Gilgeous Alexander really does not project as that guy. He would be a player who could definitely help like a good playoff team, even in his rookie season, though. So that's basically the lowdown. He's a good prospect, and he's actually been rising up the draft boards in recent weeks. And I think the latest rumor is that possibly why the Raptors need a top 10 pick is that he won't fall past the Hornets at 11 if he's still there.
Right, right. Yeah, it's weird. I kind of agree that it seems like a strange pick considering everything you just said. I mean, everything you just said, it sounded like you were talking about DeLon Wright. Like,
yeah,
to a T, like 6'6", long wingspan, good defender, can shoot wide open threes, but not so much maybe if he's contested or whatever. Good finisher around the basket, very smart. That sounds exactly like DeLon Wright to me. So it seems weird that A, they'd want DeLon Wright 2.0, and B, that they'd want a guy whose upside is maybe not incredibly high, because yeah, that is kind of the knock on the Raptors. And maybe depending on what you think about OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam, maybe you think they have some upside within those guys. I think that's probably a little too premature to be that, you know, full of expectation for them, even though they're very exciting. But yeah, I think that's why this report didn't really strike me as all that meaningful, because it just doesn't really feel like a Masai thing to do, or just like a thing that a smart front office would do, is to trade into the top 10, which is going to cost you something to get into the top 10, and to do that, to draft a guy who probably doesn't profile as someone who can be like a superstar. And like, you're not really going to be getting that unless you're super lucky in that range of the draft anyway. So that seems a little bit puzzling to me. And honestly, I also don't know what the Raptors would trade to get into the top 10. It seems kind of, they have this weird sort of, they're in a middle ground here, I think, where neither Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan are probably valuable enough as is right now in their contracts to be worth, you know, a team, you know, giving up a top 10 pick, especially a bad team that needs to rebuild and probably isn't sort of set up timeline wise to absorb one of Kyle or DeMar. They're probably not good enough to get in there. But then also, neither are any of the other guys. But like, if you were to prepare, you know, if you were to trade DeMar to like Memphis, for example, and Memphis were to send back the Chandler Parsons contract, maybe that works a little bit more for Memphis' timeline. But like, there's still this weird, the area between like 5 and 12 or 13 just doesn't really seem like an area that would work for either team if Kyle or DeMar were involved in a deal, because that's not enough you're getting back if you're the Raptors, who probably have designs on still being pretty good. And, you know, it just seems weird to like sort of set yourself back and further, like, this team is not going to be an instant tank team if they do get rid of Kyle and DeMar, and adding another top 10 pick into the mix immediately probably limits that as well, and there's just too much talent on the team to be that bad and do a proper tank job. So none of it really smells right to me. What was your reaction when you heard this come out, though?
Yeah, I was pretty puzzled by it, to be honest. Like, I think it does make sense the Raptors would be looking to move up. But again, like, I don't think they really have the contracts to make it work. Like, again, the guys who most teams would prize are the guys that they wouldn't give up if they're trying to go young. Like, as you said, like an OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam. Like, those are the young guys there who've shown, like, maybe flashes of star upside, or at least, like, have a very reasonable NBA floor. Teams really like them. And, like, why would the Raptors trade one of them if they're trying to get younger a little bit? That doesn't make a ton of sense unless they absolutely love somebody in the top 10. And then the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander thing, like, he's a really good prospect. I think, like, if the Clippers, for example, were to draft him at 12 or 13, like, he's a very solid pick. He's a guy who can help now. He can develop with the team. He should be, like, a pretty good starting-level player. I think that's, like, a reasonable upside. And, like, they're a young team. They're not going, like, championship anytime soon. But for the Raptors, that's an interesting target. Like, if it said they wanted to trade up for, like, Miles Bridges, I would have bought it quite a bit more. He's a guy who I think fits on the Raptors roster better and just is kind of a higher upside play. And he should also be available at 10, probably. Mm-hmm. Even a guy like Lonnie Walker, who, like, I know a lot of draft people are not huge fans of, but, like, I know some front offices love him. And he, you know, he could be really, really, really good if he pans out. Like, even a guy like that kind of make more sense to trade up for with that kind of assets than Shai, who's, like, he's good, but he's not, like, a prospect who I imagine teams just giving away, like, a ton of assets to trade up for. So I was pretty skeptical, too, but, like, who am I to question Mark Stein and his sources, so.
Yeah, also, I wonder, like, if that's the case, maybe that's the Raptors or someone getting something out there that, you know, yeah, Shea's the guy we want, so maybe some team would sort of reach for Shai if they really want him, and then maybe the guy they actually want falls to them. Like, there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes that we have no idea about, and mm-hmm. so, like, again, take everything with a grain of salt. And yeah, the Raptors roster, it's weird to make trades right now with it, because I don't really know the landscape of what first-round picks are really worth at this point. I mean, it's obviously the cost certainty is probably more valuable than it's ever been, considering that there's not a lot of cap space going around, and we don't really know how the cap's going to react or go forward. I mean, obviously the gambling money might change things in a few years' time, but for now it seems a little bit stagnant. So, like, guaranteed, you know, certain money on rookie deals is super valuable, so I'm not sure a team's going to want to give up even in the Clippers situation, a 12 or 13 to get, you know, a guy who probably doesn't push them over the top to wherever they want to eventually go. Like, if they're in the hunt for a Kawhi Leonard, yeah, you give up those picks. But, like, for a DeMar DeRozan, for something like that, like, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So the trading thing for the Raptors, they kind of have, like, tiers of tradability on the team. I think there's guys that they can't trade, which is probably just Serge Ibaka. There are guys who they would probably like to trade in theory, but, you know, maybe it doesn't quite work value-wise. Maybe that, like, is like Norman Powell, DeMar DeRozan, and maybe Jonas, although Jonas had a pretty good season. It might be actually worth something. There's guys that I just don't think they'll trade unless it's for a superstar package. That's probably your OGs, your Pascals, and DeLon Wrights, or even DeLon maybe involved there. I don't really know. And then everything else, like, what's Jakob Poeltl getting you if you trade it? Like, are you getting a top 15 pick for Jakob Poeltl? He was a top 10 pick himself, but he's 2 years closer to being a free agent. And, you know, I think he's good. But, yeah, I think the hope of a pick that is not really fully realized yet is probably a little bit more than really solid backup center who's good at protecting the rim and has some issues offensively. Like, it just, there's not really a sweet spot for the Raptors to make a trade into that part of the draft. So that kind of is where it kind of stops for me. Sorry, did you want to say something there?
No, I mean, I think you basically touched on one of the key elements of the draft, which is kind of it's very cliche to say, but it's true. It's exactly like a car. You know, the value depreciates massively as soon as you actually use the pick, because a first-round pick sounds fantastic, and then you actually get the guy, and it's like, oh, like, yeah, he projects as, like, an average starting-level player, and, you know, that's nice, especially on a cheap deal, and, you know, he could potentially be more. But it's way less exciting than just, like, future first-round pick. So, I mean, again, that applies to Poeltl, who's, like, a good player. Like, he's a good young player. He's definitely a very good backup center. Like, maybe on the right team he's a starter. He's still young. He's still cheap. But, like, I don't think any team is trading a top 20 pick for him. Mm-hmm. Maybe a team in, like, the late first round. like, honestly, the Warriors could use, like, a young backup center, and, like, he actually fits pretty well with them, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think you're getting anything above, like, 20, 25 for him. Ananobi is a different story, but, like, what Lou's saying, like, I don't think they trade him unless it's for, like, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I think that's the only sort of trade possibility I see where that's even on the table for him. And that's the other thing too. The Poeltl thing you mentioned is interesting because maybe they can't get a top 20 pick, but maybe it's just a way to balance the roster a little bit more because they are kind of big heavy. At least they are now. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen this offseason with Serge or Bebe's probably going to be out the door. So maybe they want Poeltl, and Poeltl's good and like he's useful to have on your team. And I would not begrudge them for bringing him back next season, but. From what I've read and from what it seems like with like mock drafts, it seemed like the late part of the first round, early part of the second round is kind of loaded with just like guys who can handle the ball a little bit, wings and point guards and like maybe guys who are a little bit more playmaking adept, which is not really Poeltl's bag. So maybe that's just what they do. They sort of cut the loss that the ninth overall pick wasn't a home run in a bad draft year. And they say, all right, let's just try to balance the roster a little bit more. I could see that maybe. But again, 2 years after getting rid of drafting Jakob Poeltl, I don't really see that totally being something that's in their plans. But, maybe some guy blows them away. Let's talk about some of those guys. Actually, let's wait. We'll get to that in a second. First, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk about the DeMar DeRozan stuff because the Clippers, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure they're a big team in the DeMar DeRozan sweepstakes, if there are sweepstakes going on, but they're an interesting team nonetheless. So we'll take a quick break, come back on the other side, talk about DeMar, and then quickly talk about some late first, early second round guys, maybe undrafted potential guys that we can maybe sort of throw into the Raptors mix. All right, we are back. DeMar DeRozan, quickly touch on this. Some people have thrown out the idea of, like, DeMar for the 12th and 13th picks. It's been very Raptors fans have been trying to trade DeMar for weeks now. It's exhausting. I don't love it because I love DeMar, and I would be sad to see him go. And also, I think a lot of these trades probably aren't very realistic. The one that I think I mentioned earlier today, I think the one that makes sense a little bit to me is Chandler Parsons and 4. If Memphis thinks they're good, and which they seem to think they're good because their owners are insane, if they think that they can win 50-something games next season and maybe they can pair DeMar with Mike Conley and try to get a similar effect to what DeMar's had with Kyle Lowry, maybe that's something they think about. I don't think so, but hey, that at least sort of makes some theoretical sense to me, at least a little bit. The Clippers thing doesn't make a lot of sense, even though DeMar and LA have kind of been interconnected. Any reaction, or have you had any sort of reactions, or just like, I don't know, have you thrown stuff when you've seen the idea of DeMar getting traded to the Clippers? Because like, it could work. Like, he's a nice player. He's a very good player. Like, I don't want to disparage DeMar, but he's probably more valuable to the Raptors than he is to a lot of other teams. What's your sort of stance on DeMar's trade possibilities as they relate to the Clippers?
Yeah, I don't think it's really there, to be honest. In some ways, I can kind of see it, even outside of the LA thing. Jerry West and Lawrence Frank and the rest of the Clippers have been emphasizing over and over again leading up to the draft, competitiveness, toughness, guys who are willing to improve, guys who work hard on their games. And if nothing else, that describes DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
I think he is a very Jerry West kind of player in some ways, also a shooting guard, also a guy who just like humble, works super hard to improve, like hates losing.
Also owned every year by probably his superior in the time that in which he was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Numerous comparisons. And like, look, I like DeMar. I think the Clippers, like if they could just get him for free, they'd be like, oh, DeMar DeRozan, that's awesome. If they had a similar salary dump, like, like the Parsons thing, maybe the closest to that would be Danilo Gallinari, which I don't, why would the Raptors do that then?
Yeah.
Unless they really loved a guy at 12 or 13. But, like, I don't think the Clippers would even be willing to do that. I mean, Gallinari only has 2 years left. I think the third year is partially guaranteed. They really need young players. They need guys with high upside. Theoretically, I mean, it's unlikely a 12 or 13 pick is going to be anywhere near as good as DeMar DeRozan. They're still cheap. They're still young. And, like, I just don't know what DeMar does for a Clippers team that's already kind of in limbo. And he would push them closer to contention. But still, I mean, even if you swapped him straight up for Gallinari with, like, maybe a future pick or something, like, that just doesn't make them any closer to beating the Warriors or the Rockets or even teams like the Pelicans. Even I don't think they would beat them in a playoff series. So Yeah, like, I really don't see it. I've been seeing trades like Tobias Harris and the 13 for DeMar, and that's just insane. I don't think I'd trade Tobias straight up for DeMar DeRozan, which to Raptors fans might also seem insane, but Tobias is really good, and he's a little younger, and he's going to be cheaper, and he fits just better kind of with the modern NBA and also just with what the Clippers already have. I can't see it. Unless they really wanted to get off Gallinari's contract, and it was like Gallinari and 13 for DeMar, and I think they need something else to make contracts work, but it's very unlikely. And as for the Parsons and four thing, I think theoretically that's good, but who knows what the Grizzlies are doing? Like you said, like
they're nuts.
They just have like a reasonable front office. I don't think would ever do that. Parsons, again, he has 2 years left, and his contract is awful. But you have the fourth pick in like one of the best drafts in a while. I just, there's no way I think they pull that trade unless, like, they absolutely think, like, the team is moving if they don't make the playoffs for the next couple years, which, like, theoretically possible. But, like, you can get a guy at four who, if you draft right, like, a Jaren Jackson Jr. or Luka Doncic, if they're available, could help out substantially within, like, their first couple years. Probably, again, won't be as good as DeMar, but, like, cheaper. You can do other stuff with that money. I really don't know. I don't think it's likely. And like you said, I think he works better with the Raptors than anywhere else. He's kind of an odd fit.
Mm-hmm.
He really needs to be like your lead scorer, and most teams just don't really want him as that. So, yeah, I really don't see it.
Yeah, and like Raptors fans are always going to probably have a more. I mean, maybe that's not true. Maybe some Raptors fans have a strong negative opinion of DeMar at this point. Like, I think a lot of Raptors fans probably overvalue him in these trade conversations a little bit, and this happens with everybody. Like, you said you wouldn't trade Tobias Harris for DeMar straight up, and maybe contract wise that makes sense, but like, I think DeMar is probably a better player than Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
But that's like, there's bias built into that, obviously. And so it's hard to really evaluate. Like, the one maybe saving grace if you're trying to, you know, beef up DeMar's trade value is that, like you mentioned, with the Clippers, and I think a lot of teams around the league, and just considering the fact that he was a second-team All-NBA guy, I feel like the opinion of him in NBA circles is probably a lot higher than it is, say, on NBA internet circles. He seems like a guy that people really respect and like and think is someone that, you know, they want to have on their team, so maybe that boosts it. But again, it's such a big contract, and the Raptors don't really have to do anything, so I don't really see that really taking place. But yeah, so quickly, so we don't have that much time left, let's quickly dive in to the stuff that all the Raptors fans really care about right now, which is who might go undrafted and become the next Fred VanVleet, because that's all they really got right now. Maybe they buy into the second round. I think the Sixers have like four second-round picks or something crazy like that.
Yep.
Maybe they buy in there, considering the Sixers already have a bunch of contracts tied up for next season and two first-round picks of their own. So maybe that happens. Where it would be, I have no idea. Maybe the Bulls want to sell a pick again because they're cheap. That would be great. We'll see. But let's assume the Raptors are sort of hanging in the 45 to undrafted range. Was there any names that people should be looking out for as guys that you would say, yeah, like that's a pretty good value for the Raptors to get him either late in the second round or as an undrafted free agent?
There's some guys. I think you kind of touched on this earlier, but this draft is stacked with wing players and non-point guard guards. So basically shooting guard, small forwards is what, like from pick 15 off to like 45, it's going to be like 80% guards and wings.
Yeah.
There are a ton of them, which actually from what you said about the Raptors roster and how they're a little big heavy, that actually makes sense. There are like seven big men who are getting drafted in this draft, and six of them are going to be in the first 15.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it's like all wings, like a handful of point guards. I can't really see the Raptors taking a point guard unless they're looking to trade Kyle Lowry, which again, like I don't think is actually going to happen. So I'd be looking at wings, and just off the top, there's a lot of interesting names there. And again, like there are so many of them that at some point people are probably going to start taking guys to stash in Europe, or shooting, you know, their shot with some random big man who's 7 foot tall and blocks some shots just because it's a big man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a good possibility that at least a few of those wings who probably should be taken higher fall. I could not for the life of me predict which ones. I will say that Michigan, I went to Michigan, I covered Michigan basketball briefly, I know their guys pretty well, has two guys who are seniors who are going to be in the draft, who are not really, I don't think, should be selected, but are undrafted, and I both think could be NBA players. One of them is a guy I've like had pegged as a Spurs dude for years, which might mean a little less now with like the Kawhi Leonard thing, but Duncan Robinson, one of the best three-point shooters in the NCAA over the past few years, just dead-eye marksman from out there. The rest of his game, kind of more limited, but he's smart. Like, he at least kind of knows how to play defense. He can move the ball. But really, he's a guy who would be, again, going back to Spurs, like a Bryn Forbes type. Like, you just bring him in off the bench as spacer just to chuck threes. In many ways, I'd compare him to, like, a much lesser CJ Miles. But again, like, could be a useful guy to have as, like, your 10th or 11th man. And Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, who, if he was, like, a couple inches taller, would probably be draft-worthy as a wing. He's a little small, but he can handle. He can go to the rim. He can shoot. He's a tough defender. Again, really smart. But he's a little undersized for a combo guard. I think he's, like, 6'3 or 6'4. And both those guys are quite old. Like, they're around 24 by the time of the draft. So not much upside there, but they're smart. Everybody who plays under John Beilein knows how to play basketball. Mm-hmm. I think those are guys who could be interesting training camp guys, as players who can shoot, like, handle a little bit, just smart. But for guys who are a little bit higher quality, I'd say, Kevin Hervey is a really interesting name. He was at University of Texas Arlington, and he's a really, really big wing. Some mm-hmm. people have him as a power forward, but I think he could probably play some small forward. And I think he might have had some injury issues as well, but his stats are really good. He performed really well in my model because he's a really good rebounder. He averaged over 8 for the last 3 seasons of his college career. 6'9", 230 pounds. He's a scorer. He can shoot. Not great, but he's high volume from out there, so, you know, he can at least get shots up. And again, spacing is important. You know, sometimes it's not even guys who can make threes. It's guys who are just willing to take them and guys who teams will respect from out there. He could be that kind of guy. Again, good rebounder, athletic, just kind of like an interesting-esque prospect towards the bottom of the second round. In terms of point guard prospects, again, not sure about whether the Raptors will look at one. Javon Carter from West Virginia is a guy who I would probably take in the first round, but I've seen, like, down in the 40s. Mm-hmm. He was one of the best defensive guards in the country. He averaged over 3 steals a game his senior year. West Virginia, just like a guy, again, who people always throw around a ton of intangibles leading into the draft, like leader, competitive, all that stuff. He really is, though. He's super tough. He's big. Again, he can kind of shoot. Like, he's not amazing, but he can shoot. And he's just a guy who you bring in off the bench, like 12, 15 minutes a game, pressure an opposing point guard and some turnovers, ignite the team with some energy. Kind of, honestly, from what I saw of the Raptors, a little bit of like what Van Vliet did on defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's like the playmaker or just overall player that Van Vliet is, but I think he's pretty good and he's really good defensively. He's a guy to look at. And then another wing would be Gary Trent.
Son of a former Raptor.
Yeah, there you go. See, I didn't even know that. I knew his dad was an NBA player, but I wasn't entirely sure. So
he played like 8 games. I shouldn't know this. I just do from trivia stuff. Yeah, he was 8 games or something like that.
But I think he's interesting. He's a guy. NBA teams really like pedigree, and he did go to Duke. Mm-hmm. So did Trayvon Duval, actually. Both guys who are not projected to go very high, even though they're young and they came out, which, again, could be a bit of a red flag. But he's a pretty big guard. He's 6'6". He had, like, okay rebound and assist numbers and steal numbers, actually. So he performed, like, decently well in what my stats model thinks is important. Shot the ball well. I think he's, like, a pretty decent prospect. Again, like, even though he's young, I wouldn't say he has, like, a ton of upside. Like, I'm not sure, like, the skills are really there, and I'm not entirely sure about, like, his decision-making. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy who can do things on the basketball court. And really, I think later in the draft, you're looking more for shooters, like guys like him or, again, Duncan Robinson, who can at least, you want a guy who has, like, one elite NBA skill. So for those two guys, it would be shooting. For Carter, it would be defense, and you just have to hope that the rest of their game is good enough that they can play, what, like 15 minutes a game. Again, like, you know, every once in a while some team lucks into a legit, like, really good player in the second round, but most of the time, like, all you want is just a guy who can play rotation minutes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just, like, a quick overview. I'm not even going to cover the bigs because I don't really like many of them. And
I don't think the Raptors are in the business of needing more bigs at this point, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think that's really a thing. Again, I just look at wings, so if for everybody who's listening, I would honestly just look at if you have any time at all, and, you know, you actually have a job, I wouldn't recommend doing any deep dives, but just look at maybe, like, the back half of, like, from 45 to 60 of like the top 100 on ESPN or whatever, look at a few of the wings, and just one of those guys would probably be who it is, because at least a couple guys who are a little higher above will fall, and I think there will be some good players there. Again, can't predict it. One last name, Hamidou Diallo, who is at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He was probably one of the worst players in college basketball last year, which is not a great recommendation, but he has like ideal NBA wing size, and he's really athletic, and some team is going to gamble on him and hope that he can develop some like actual basketball skills and abilities and IQ and become like a player who plays as good as he looks. But, you know, for a team, again, like the Raptors, who kind of want upside and are just gambling for flyers, I think he would actually be an interesting guy to select later in the second round. By no means a sure shot. Like, I would not be surprised if he's playing in Europe in just 2 years. But of any guys, like, in that back half, like, he might be the one who just could be the best if things just click right for him. So maybe him. But, yeah, it's kind of a weird draft where I think the cutoff is in, like, the late 30s or early 40s, and then there's a real drop-off in terms of talent.
Right.
And, like, a team who's hoping to buy in, like, the Raptors would really have to hope that one or two guys falls. Like, the Clippers last year actually got one guy they really liked at 48, Zendarius Thornwell, who played pretty big minutes for them in his rookie season as, like, an energy guy and defensive player. Mm-hmm. And even though he was one of the best players in the country because he was old, he fell. A similar thing could happen again this year. But yeah, there are guys out there for sure.
That's a pretty expansive list. Hamidou Diallo seems like new Bruno, which I'm down for. There's been a gaping hole perfect. In my heart since Bruno left. Also, he's got, I'm looking at the Ringer draft guide right now. Fred Jones, former Raptor, is one of his comparisons. Javon Carter, or Javon Carter, if I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize to Javon/Javon. Fred VanVleet is also one of his comparisons on here, mm-hmm. as well as former Raptor Jared Bayless. So it's good stuff people to get very excited about if you care about comps, which probably you shouldn't, but it's still interesting. We got to wrap this thing up, but Shake Milton is the guy I want from just the very little amount I've heard. He sounds like a bit of a gunner, and I'm down for that. And also, I guess Justin Jackson, a Canadian guy who people will probably look at. He's maybe another guy who people will probably like be mad that the Raptors didn't take because passports apparently matter up here. So those two guys, maybe we'll do another podcast on those guys, but those are just two names I want to throw in there. Do you have quick 30-second takes on Shake Milton or Justin Jackson?
Shake Milton is really good. If the Raptors can somehow buy up to get him, they absolutely should. He is really good. He will be like an NBA player. Justin Jackson, blue blood again. Like, he was at a big college program. He was a big name prospect. He was not particularly good in college, and I think he also had some injury issues. Mm-hmm. But again, like a guy with probably more upside than your typical late second round guy. So again, he would be an interesting flyer candidate.
Right on, Robert. This was awesome. Thank you for the bounty of information that you've put into my previously empty brain. do you have anything you want to plug right now?
Not particularly. I have a profile on Wendell Carter Jr. coming up tomorrow, which is way too high, probably way too high for the Clippers, and definitely too high for the Raptors unless they pull off a miracle. But he's like my fourth favorite prospect in the draft, and he's really awesome, and that'll be up tomorrow.
Right on. So check that out, Clips Nation at Rich Homie Flom on Twitter.
Yep, still there.
Right on. Read all Robert's stuff. Blazers Edge as well. You're very good. And draft stuff. You want to be following Robert this week for draft stuff. Listeners, please subscribe, rate, review on iTunes. It's the best way to support the show. It's very helpful. I very much appreciate it. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll do an episode probably, I don't know. We're going to do a couple episodes this week. One we'll actually do, like, look ahead to what we want the Raptors to do on draft night. Another one we're going to look back on past drafts and get sad about what the Raptors have done. Because, again, there's no pick for the Raptors, so we got to do stuff like this. Like, get into our feelings instead of actually analyze who the Raptors might take. But until then, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors. Robert, thanks, man. That was great.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course.
The Bruno Caboclo thing is actually perfect. I was going to throw him out there as a Hamidou Diallo thing, but right, you nailed that. So whatever you read was that the Ringer you said?
No, it was just Fred Jones on here. Just the way you described him sounded like Bruno.
Oh, because, no, yeah, yeah, that's exactly who I would comp him to, actually. I don't think he knows how to play basketball, but like, he looks good.
Oh man, that's Masai is gonna trade to like 25 and take him there probably. So.
That would be really bad. I would not recommend that. At like 45, go ahead. Yeah. I think the same thing was true for Caboclo. Honestly, like people would probably not laugh as much, you know, if he would have taken a lot later. But yeah, that was early.
All right, man. I gotta wrap this thing up. I gotta go post this and stuff. So
yep, sounds good.
Enjoy the hotel living and all that stuff.
Thank you, man.
What'd you say you got an internship again? Sorry, you cut off when you said that.
Oh yeah, I have an internship up in the Bay Area for the next 3 months, so that's why I'm moving my stuff up here. But right now I'm at a hotel until I find a place to live.
All right, on.
And get ripped off at.
Well, good luck with that, man.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you too, man.
Later.
Yep.